Hi, I'm Katrina Daniel, and welcome to Primetime Crime, a podcast for people who want to know what goes on behind the scenes of the most notorious trending crime stories and what's going on in the minds of those involved in those stories. What are the detectives, the judges, the defense attorneys, and the prosecutors thinking? You'll hear it all on Primetime Crime, the podcast. This is Primetime Crime. I'm Katrina Daniel, and I'm going to bet you may not have heard of a journalism entity called the Marshall Project, named to honor the much-respected first African-American Supreme Court Justice, Thurgood Marshall. The Marshall Project is dedicated to making Americans aware of the fault lines of the American justice system. We've been told for so long that our justice system is broken. Well, yeah, it is. This group's goal, to quote their mission statement, is to make our justice system more fair, more effective, and humane. Marshall Project data reporter Hui Hua Lee is going to give us all we need to know, including why some of the crime stats that we're hearing are worse than we ever thought. Thank you so very much for joining us. You are a journalist with the Marshall Project. So tell us, first of all, give us a Marshall Project 101. What is it? What is it you do?
Sure thing. And thank you so much for inviting me, Katrina. So the Marshall Project is an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit news organization that reports on the U.S. criminal justice and immigration system.
What is your job? What is it you do for the Marshall Project?
Of course. My official title is a data reporter. And the dinner party explanation version of this is I use numbers to tell stories about criminal justice. I try to interview the data, if you will, to gather insight about what's going on in the system.
Have you been watching the CBS? They just started the day before yesterday, a new series on the inequality of crime. And I think they're using a lot of your data. Some of the things that I have read from the Marshall Project, CBS is using for its inequality of, and the fact that crimes, 50% of murders in this country aren't being solved or even investigated.
Yeah. I came across the homicide clearance rate piece, which was something that we had investigated earlier this year. And, you know, what we found, as the CBS folks did as well, is as homicides specifically have spiked, fewer than half of them were actually solved or there is an arrest made. And if you look at the racial disparity, then, you know, for certain demographic groups, the rate is definitely lower.
Break that down for us. So African-American murders are less likely to be solved? And if so, tell me why.
It is less likely to be solved when we are talking to police detectives, you know, police departments to get a better understanding of why these murders are not being solved. They say one major factor is to solve a homicide case, you usually would rely on witness testimony, you know, someone coming up and say, hey, I saw something. And when we're talking about 2020, you know, that's a time where the nation was reacting to the murder of George Floyd. And especially among the Black community, there has always been a distrust toward the police. But, you know, incident like George Floyd and what happened in protests after that made that distrust more of an important issue. So a lot of police officers we talked to pointed to this to say, we just don't have as many people coming forward and talking to us when a Black person is murdered.
And there's very strong and potentially dangerous stigma attached in the African-American community. If you rat out, you know, your next door neighbor's son because he did a drive-by shooting and you saw him, then you yourself are in peril.
That's certainly a narrative that we heard police officers say. And they, some of them will also explain to us that a lot of times when they are trying to investigate a homicide case, the victim could very well be the perpetrator. At least that's the police narrative. you know, like had this person not being a victim, then they may kill someone. So that's something the police will say to us.
So basically it's gang retaliation.
That's one of their narrative and hypothesis. And, you know, 2020 was also a year where there were a lot of gun on the market. You know, there were a historic increase in gun purchases, as we now know. And police will also say that if someone stabbed another person to death, there will be a lot of physical evidence and it will make it easier for police to solve the case. But, you know, if someone firearm at someone else, then the level of physical evidence wouldn't be nearly as much.
Right.
And it would be more
DNA left behind and no. Yeah. What action is taken with your information, the data that you get, and you do come to conclusions that say, you know, like 50% of murders are not solved nationwide and they're underreported, but how is your information actually used?
That's a really good question. I mean, what we reported on is a secret among law enforcement. When we were talking to the NYPD, for example, or Chicago Police Department, they are very well aware of where their homicide clearance rate is because, you know, solving a murder, that's one of the top duty for law enforcement. So it's not a secret to them. I think there are two sides to the story. Another thing that we have to keep in mind is in 2020, police nationwide actually solved more murders than the previous year.
Really?
So they solved more homicide. Again, I have to look at this, my story for specific numbers. But if you think about it, you know, in 2020, the number of homicides spiked by 30%. So say if police solved 10% more of the murder, you still have that gap, which is why we're seeing a lower clearance rate. But, you know, this is one thing that we found really interesting in the data. It's not as if police just stopped solving crimes. They were, and they were solving more, but just comparing with how fast murders were going up, the clearance rate didn't catch on.
As I was watching this CBS documentary yesterday, they were saying that homicide detectives are absolutely swamped. So ideally, a detective should have 5 cases a year. And these guys in Baltimore was the city that they visited. They had 40 cases a year, each detective.
We definitely talked to officers who have said that they have seen an increase in the caseload. I don't remember the specific numbers, but they all, these are complicated cases and it takes a lot to investigate and to prosecute. So, you know, one additional homicide is not something to take lightly, let alone, you know, in a lot of places, a 50% increase or 30% increase.
Yeah, and it's funny because we're bantering around numbers, and it's actually people's lives, you know, a 50% increase, okay, fine, double. But what it means is, you know, someone's loved ones have been killed at a greater rate by far, which is really frightening. Do you see it changing at all? Do you see it going down, or do you see it escalating further?
That's a really good question. We don't have the national statistics for 2021 yet, and that's part of what we wrote about for the FBI crime statistics story. You know, the way that the FBI collects crime data this year would mean that it might be really difficult for us to say how much homicide nationwide have gone up in 2021. But we do see in some cities that they have reported an increase in homicide in this year.
Are mass shootings included in your statistics?
In my statistics of homicide clearance rate?
Yeah.
It should be. I mean, that's mass shooting is at the end of the day a murder, right? A murder with multiple victims.
Yeah.
But something that we did notice is when the FBI, the federal government's definition for mass shooting is an incident where 3 or more people are killed. So if you look at a murder case where there were 3 or more murder victims, the number of cases are actually very small. It represents, I think, around 1% of, if not less than 1% of total homicide that took place. So it's definitely included, but mass murder, mass shooting is not what's driving up the homicide rate.
I think when we spoke the other day, you said something about crime statistics are underreported nationwide by perhaps as much as 40%.
That's right. So in the story that we recently published, we investigated the FBI's uniform reporting, crime reporting program, which is how the federal government collects crime number from police agencies across the country and count how many crimes had took place in the previous year. And we had obtained data from the FBI that show that for 2021, around 7,000 law enforcement agencies representing 40% of police departments across the country did not submit data to the FBI, which means we would have to go with an estimation where 40% of the nation is missing.
Wow, that's pretty harsh. What are the top five criminally busy cities in the country, to your knowledge?
That's a really good question. I mean, I think that really depends on what you're looking at. You know, if we're looking at number of murders or the homicide rate, taking population into consideration. I know for a really long time, we have talked about Chicago as, you know, quote unquote, the murder capital of US, but really, if you take population into consideration, St. Louis is actually the city with the highest homicide rate.
St. Louis, Missouri?
Mm-hmm. Not a place that you think about.
No, it isn't. What do you attribute that to?
My colleagues, Jamal Lockery, he actually worked on a piece that looks at murders in St. Louis and where murders are solved versus where murders are not solved. I think, you know, poverty in a lot of places definitely plays a role, but I couldn't really point my finger at you. This is the reason why St. Louis has the highest rate.
Interesting, because you think of St. Louis, you think, you know, nice, calm, settled, stable Midwest. At least I do.
Mm-hmm.
Shocking. Anything else that you'd like us to know about the Marshall Project that you think is important people should know?
If you're interested in criminal justice, you know, we have been around and really focused on criminal justice for a better half of a decade at this point, and have done a lot of deep dive investigations on different corners. Crime statistics is just one of them. So definitely check out our work. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out.
Thank you so very, very much for taking part in this with us.
Thank you, Katrina. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Primetime Crime, the podcast. Follow us on Facebook at Primetime Crime and on Instagram and Twitter at PrimetimeCrime_. Post your comments and tell us what true crime stories you'd like to hear about. Subscribe to Primetime Crime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. Thanks a lot.